Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Something's wrong because my mind is fading. And everywhere I look, there's a dead end waiting. Temperatures dropping at the rotten oasis. Stealing kisses from the leprous faces.
Pretty damn proud that we ended up in May of this year, finally got a 3-year exceptional policy to open up the base for areas of public interest to include the museum, the lighthouse, and the National Park Service location. So it was a big lift by a lot of people. The community had a very big part in making that happen. And that was one of the good things that happened last year.
Absolutely, that was one of the good things that happened last year. That's Captain Terry Shashadi Village, the commanding officer on NAS Pensacola. This was at the Chamber of Commerce military luncheon this week that I was at down at the New Hilton, which the New Hilton is nice. It's that's one on 9th Avenue, the what's it, Hilton Garden Inn. And a little light on parking, I'll say a little light on parking. But at the moment, there's plenty of street parking, you know, on the property on the like the north side of the Hawkshaw property. I don't know how much of that's still going to be available when Hawkshaw gets their development done, whenever that is in the next decade. But still, you know, it's a good venue. But Village was there talking about issues for the base. He wasn't actually the main speaker. It's kind of interesting because usually the military luncheon is like primarily either the base commander or maybe a couple of retired military or some active duty as well. In this case, it was actually IHMC had a couple of scientists who were there talking about the military related projects that they were working on. So it was very interesting. But on base access, obviously, we have access back to the base on the back gate only. The west gate only is going to become important, you know, in case you haven't heard, there's a homecoming air show coming up a week from this weekend. So that is going to be great. The last air show for the Blue Angels this week or this year. And but anyway, talking about that issue of base access, the impact on the community and kind of what they've been learning in this process.
You know, we've learned a lot. I think we still have a little bit of work to do when it comes down to the base access piece, specifically with the community out there because the traffic issues that we have. If you live out the back gate, you know it. But that's one thing that we continually try to tweak and communicate with the county and trying to figure out how to make that better.
Always improving. But look, it's a blessing to the community and to our visitors. And of course, like most everything in the whole world, if it's a good thing for some, it's going to be a bad thing for others. And the bad thing is the traffic, the congestion, the lack of safety when you have too many cars in the neighboring roads, which is, you know, definitely been a problem this year. They've been making improvements on it, but, you know, I mean, that is a challenge, no doubt. Both the parking on places they shouldn't be parking and also the, you know, just plain congestion from the number of people trying to get on the base.
All right, so where are we going? Talking about base access. So again, traffic is one of those issues for those out the back gate. We've been communicating with County Commissioner Kohler on trying to figure out how to solve that problem. I realize every day, including today, that it's kind of hard to communicate to individuals. Even if you have a sign that says no parking here, they still seem to park there. So trying to figure out.
We think that's a suggestion.
What's that?
We're in the South. We think that's a suggestion.
I'm telling you, yes, that's I'm learning that.
they still seem to park here. You know, it's true. And it's kind of funny because, you know, Lego Crump, who does fantastic audio work for a lot of these events, and he's a good friend, and he always lets me use his high-quality recording, and then I'm always running my recording at the table, you know what I mean? And so I catch the peanut gallery comments. You know, so between us, we catch it all. But yeah, it's true. People just don't do what they're told.
We're bringing in maybe some more people to help solve that problem. So unfortunately, it's not fixed. I think it's still going to be a challenge. We've learned a lot this past year to hopefully apply those lessons learned for next year, and hopefully we can offset some of the frustration or the inconvenience that having that base open has caused out the back gate.
Right. And, I, you know, so my question, though, was, well, 3 years from now, or really, you know, 2.5 years from now, what then? Because we got a 3-year temporary back in May from the Navy to continue doing it this way after they did the kind of proof of concept. Remember last year they were doing the, like, you know, try and see what happens. And they learned a lot, and then we did this. So what then? And I talked to him when he sat down, you know, kind of came back to sit down, and I did a little interview with him right thereafter.
What's the plan in 2.5 years? It's a great lift to get to here. What's the plan for when the temporary expires?
So that's something that we're still trying to figure out. It's been, I don't want to say put on the back burner, but we haven't re-engaged on some of the other possibilities or options that are out there. But they're still somewhat similar to what was before, whether or not, you know, there's a the ability to end up, moving away from the exceptional policy. The end state would be to get rid of that exception to policy and make it a consistent or... what's the word I'm
looking
for?
Permanent.
Yeah, absolutely a permanent solution.
Do you feel like this is kind of a trial proof of concept for the big Navy, or are they looking at it less like this is the permanent plan, do you think?
No, I think we're going to have to re-engage and legitimately figure out the risks associated with it, how this had occurred. Could this be the permanent solution? I think it's fair to say yes. It has everything to do with, funding. If there's additional funding that needs to end up coming for a MILCON project, offset by, the risk associated with having that or not having that. So that discussion hasn't been really heavily re-engaged since the exceptional policy ended up coming. But as we get closer to the midpoint right now, we're probably going to start having these conversations.
Yeah, so... You know, what it kind of, for me, when I knew we had the current situation, I guess maybe I hadn't realized that it was a time limited exception to the base access policy for the General Navy. I had been thinking that it was a TFN, sort of they'd have to move for it to expire. But it looks like it really does come with an end date unless that gets extended, which we certainly hope. But it kind of made me feel like the thing we had started to take for granted again as a safe, secure that we could get on the base when we wanted to for, the museum, the lighthouse, the Blue Angels, all kinds of stuff. That's not quite as secure going forward as I had kind of come to believe that it was. So that made me nervous because you don't know what's going to happen in, 2.5 years. But, that's a long way away, but that's not that long away at the speed the Navy moves. Let's be honest, big Navy doesn't move that fast on anything. And so, I hope that, and I'm sure they are, base commanders, civilian, relations, politicians are doing their best to make the case even now that we don't want to go back to how it had been after the terrorist attack. That would be bad for the base, bad for the community, bad for, finances, for everybody, that we don't want to go back to that by default. If something else doesn't get done, we'd like to at least continue this. And remember, all the other options did not pan out. Splitting the base into pieces that were open to the public and not open to the public, too expensive. Every different design, just too expensive. Building an access road right through the middle of the base that everybody could use. Great idea. Love the idea. Way too expensive. Who's going to pay? The FDOT seemed like they were willing to pay, but the Navy would have to pay some. And the cost of the Navy, no. We're not going to pay for that. 518 on News Radio 92.3. So for now, we do have access, but we're looking at what happens in, about 2.5 years when that 3-year term comes up. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home and you want somebody who's going to understand the market, understand what it's doing, what interest rates, what different regions are doing, what different price points are doing, because, the $400,000 homes in Cantonment might be doing one thing, whereas the $600,000 or $700,000 homes in Gulf Breeze might be doing something else. And that's normal. But you tend to think of it as one thing, and it's not one thing. It's different regions, different price points. And not only understand that, but understand your needs. They will actually take the time to figure out, why do you want to buy a house? What is it you're trying to get away from? Will this solve that problem? What are you trying to accomplish? Because I know sometimes Christina Leavenworth has sat down with people and talked to them about that. And, she's like, honestly, I don't think you're better off if you buy. I think you'd be happier just, doing what you're doing, or better off if you move, which is sometimes the case. You want to move and the problem you're trying to solve moving isn't going to get solved. So why would you do that? You say, why would a real estate agent talk somebody out of buying a home? Because it's the right thing to do. Just like you want a mechanic who will sometimes say, you need to fix this, but not today. You want a real estate agent who will sometimes say, I get what you're trying to do, but I think you'll be happier not doing it. Because that's the kind of honesty you look for. And that's certainly the kind of attitude that Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty have. 723-9158. 723-9158.
Your pet isn't just a pet. They're part of your family. Most of the pet food on the market is cooked at high temperatures, which kills nutrients. A scoop of Dynavite is a 3-in-1 daily supplement, adding back key nutrients to your pup's health. Try Dynavite for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Learn more at dinovite.com/radio. That's dinovite.com/radio.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Today at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, you. The one on the couch who just told your friend you can't go out because you're busy? Ready to get real about your psoriasis? When your current treatments don't do enough to help control the inflammation beneath the skin, causing plaques and pain, stressing and scratching, it's time to stop hiding and get real with your dermatologist so they can help you get clear. Get real clear about psoriasis at letsgetrealclear.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Fox News Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're most troublesome.
For a security guard?
Sorry, Hans, wrong guess.
Would you like to go for double jeopardy where the scores can really change?
You may have heard we have conducted airstrikes against targets in Syria in response to them targeting United States military installations. And you've got one contractor wound up dying from a heart attack because he was sheltering in place. And a couple dozen or so American military personnel that were somewhat injured in various of these attacks. All of them, I think, are back to duty now. But you've got, you know, we are pushing back. We have presence in the region. As we mentioned before, we have, you know, just in case you haven't been keeping score, two carrier groups and a command and control ship. We've got a Marine, I believe, is a 3-star in the vicinity. We've got several anti-missile batteries, defense batteries, you know, kind of like, I think it's like a land-based SeaWiz kind of thing, and, you know, Patriot batteries. We've got a lot of stuff like this that's in there to protect Israel. And then yesterday at the UN, you had the Iranian foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, who says, well, you listen. It's a little hard because he's got a pretty thick accent, but it's important to hear him in his own words because he chose to speak English with this particular message.
The history of Iranian civilization shows that we have always supported peace and security. But today in New York and the United Nations, I say frankly to the American statesmen who are now managing the genocide in Palestine, that we do not welcome to expansion of the war in the region. But I warn, if the genocide in Gaza continues, they will not be spared from this fire.
So that's a threat. What he's saying is that if the United States doesn't stop helping Israel, if the United States doesn't stop tacitly or actively endorsing and supporting the behavior of Israel with regard to Gaza, that the United States will not be spared the fire, is his word, of response. I mean, that's a threat. On U.S. soil, at the United Nations, in New York City yesterday. In response to which, oh, and by the way, you know, I love the beginning, you know, the history shows that Iran is an agent of peace. Oh, yeah, it absolutely does in upside down world. Have you, I mean, what, my God, you know, and what's my, what do I always say? Somebody who will lie about one thing will lie about anything, right? So Iran is a force for peace in the Middle East. But you speak English, right? Like, you know what the words mean. You want to say an absolute lie out loud and act like it's the truth. What am I supposed to do? You know, it's like, like Putin. Oh, totally. We are agents for peace. What? It's English though, right? Because it's not like this is a translation issue. So, Iran has done more to destabilize the Middle East and engage in military activities, terrorist activity, everything you could imagine historically that a foreign nation could do to be non-peaceful. You know, Iran has done. And yet they're there. We're agents for peace historically. Well, I mean, I guess if you trust that people don't know their history, then I suppose they might believe that that's true. Anyway, so in response, Senator Rick Scott from the state of Florida says, yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to be in the United States if he's going to be on our soil threatening us, which I am torn on this because I agree and it's Iran. And at the same time, the concept of the UN is giving everybody their place to speak, you know, without fear of punishment and retaliation. And the UN didn't have to be on, you know, American soil. It could be somewhere else. Maybe you say it's a testimony to the neutrality of the UN and the idea of the UN, putting people in a room to talk instead of, you know, fighting things out, is the theory of it. I'm not much of a believer in this theory or the effectiveness of the UN over history, but I'm torn on this idea of whether you should allow the foreign minister to come here and threaten us on our soil at the UN. Because, you know, again, I give really wide berth to the idea of free speech. But the flip side is, so we are platforming, would be how the lefties would describe it. We're platforming a guy who is a terror-sponsoring state, a distorter of history, and obviously a threat maker against our own country on our soil. Okay. I mean, I hear you. You know, I do. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the search for that mass killer in Maine is continuing today, and authorities still looking for Robert Card. The official numbers were released yesterday. They said he killed 18 people. About a dozen other people were wounded in those two mass shootings.
What do you think of the odds he's dead? Right? I mean, it's not uncommon for people who do things like this to decide, yeah, I'm done. And you typically find people when they move, when they engage, when they go and, you know, try to go to a store or go to a friend's house. You know what I mean? Like somebody who's just dead in a river or in the woods somewhere wouldn't. I don't know.
Right.
But there's a part of me that the longer this goes on, the more that's kind of my, I wonder if, you know.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely every possibility of that. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Maybe they'll find something today. U.S. GDP apparently rising faster than expected this quarter. The GDP figures released yesterday showed it rose 4.9% July through September, up from 2.1%. And that according to the Commerce Department. And President Biden's approval rating among voters of the Democrat Party apparently down. A Gallup poll showing that 75% now of Democrat respondents approve of the job Biden is doing. And that is down 11 points from last month.
Well, and also you got, as the only known to super conservatives or radio people, Larry Elder dropped out of the race yesterday and endorsed Trump on the GOP side.
Right.
But now you have Dean Phillips is a Minnesota Democrat who is now running for president to challenge Biden in the primaries. So that was announced yesterday. Kind of the White House is like, the what now? How dare you? Well, you know, maybe we'll have a debate. I don't think we will have a debate. I don't think the Democratic Party is going to have debates, but I wish they would. So, yeah, interesting. Biden's vulnerability within his own party, right? And if you talk to Democrats, what you do not hear an awful lot of is, my God, we love this man.
No, not at all.
What you hear an awful lot of is, well, he's not so bad, and we sure do hate that Trump. That's what you hear. you know, oh, and
absolutely
stronger. Yeah. So, Dave, was that it, sir? Was that your third one?
That's it.
Outstanding. 5:30 here on, well, not quite 5:30, 5:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The Honor Her Foundation invites community to join them at the third annual All Services Ball, Friday, November 10th. That's 2 weeks at Corte de Luna from 6 to 11. It's a charity ball honoring the brave men and women of the armed forces, law enforcement, first responders along the Gulf Coast. So should be a lot of fun. If you want more information about this, you can go to newsradio923.com where you get all of your sort of community calendar information. The Great Gulf Coast Arts Festival comes up next weekend, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Seville Square. You can, again, find out information about that, newsradio923.com. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. U.S. airstrikes in Syria target Iran-backed militant groups who have been launching attacks on American troops in Syria and Iraq, injuring 21.
For years, the red line for U.S. forces has been the death of any American. After that U.S. contractor was killed, he died of a heart attack in one of those drone strikes in Iraq. That certainly compelled the Pentagon and the White House to launch these airstrikes.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. The manhunt continues for the suspect in Wednesday's mass shootings in Lewiston, Maine. Most of the 18 people killed have been publicly identified, including a 14-year-old boy and his father, two members of a deaf cornhole team and a sign language interpreter, and a restaurant manager who police say tried to charge the shooter with a kitchen knife.
We still have five in stable condition and three in critical condition.
Of the 13 people wounded, that's Dr. John Alexander at Central Maine Medical Center. Police surrounded and searched the suspect Robert Card's home, but he wasn't there. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3 65. Right now, it's partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. And the Escambia County Legislative Delegation has voted to allow the Municipal Corporation of Perdido Key to be on the 2024 ballot. That would mean residents in District 1 and District 2 would likely be able to vote next year on whether or not to make Perdido into its own town. That coming out of the Escambia County Legislative Delegation meeting last night. And we'll have more on that throughout the morning. The state attorney's office has now handed down indictments to two men in two separate fatal shootings. Channel 3 reporting 29-year-old Jerry Foster Jr. and 41-year-old Jeremy McConico have now both been indicted on first-degree premeditated murder charges. Foster accused of killing his cousin, 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson, back on September 9th. That happened on Emerald Avenue. Meanwhile, McConico allegedly shot and killed Rodney Norris Jr. in March of last year at a home on Massachusetts Avenue. He had been held in Beaumont, Texas, and was recently extradited back to Escambia County. Santa Rosa County leaders amending their contract with Lifeguard Ambulance, which, of course, has provided EMS service to the county since 2007, in order to track and score quality service. Lifeguard has been operating under a minimum staffing model. Starting November 1st, the EMS service will now be tracked by response times.
Not enough ambulances. There's just not enough people. Whether you go to the airlines or your restaurants, there's just not enough people anymore. And the contract requirement changed from response time requirement to minimum staffing. But sometimes there's just not enough staff to do it.
Lifeguard Ambulance founder John Roach says switching from the minimum staffing model is not expected to impact their service times. The contract does allow the county to charge daily and monthly fines if Lifeguard doesn't meet their benchmarks at least 90% of the time. Well, there may not be a Margaritaville resort on Pensacola Beach anymore, but the restaurant reportedly is coming back to the Gulf Coast soon. A new Margaritaville is being built nearby in Gulf Shores over at the legendary Marina and Yacht Club. The marina is still under construction, and that won't be completed until next March, roughly. And there's no word on when exactly the Margaritaville restaurant will be ready to be serving up their cheeseburgers in paradise. It is 5:34 News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. A beautiful day in store today with temperatures near 81 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. For Saturday, high near 82 with mostly sunny skies, 64 degrees for your overnight temp. Beautiful weather continues into Sunday with a high near 81, mostly sunny. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 64 in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 62 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend, while others ride with their growing family. But no matter how many passengers you may have, there's a Volkswagen that'll fit you from Piedmore Imports. The all-new 2024 Jetta Sport. A sleek, compact sedan now from $24,385. The 2023 Taos S, a sporty crossover with a new lower price of $25,199. The 23 Tiguan S has a third row and now from $29,146. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven for everyone's comfort, the 2024 Atlas SE, now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421, plus the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale prices before tag, tax, title, and dealer fees. Discount on the new ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
People are fishing off of Three Mile Bridge. They are not allowed to fish off of Three Mile Bridge, right?
That is correct. They are not supposed to be fishing off Three Mile Bridge. That's a combination of FDOT and FWC as far as enforcement.
That was Wes Moreno that I was talking with yesterday. He's the county administrator for Escambia County. Same thing that I was told by Mayor D.C. Reeves, not on the air, but I was just chatting with him off the air on Wednesday, that people are fishing on Three Mile Bridge. It is a safety issue. It's certainly a clutter and debris issue because, look, though some people are very responsible when they go fishing, not everybody is. And, you know, there's all kinds of, hooks and line and bait and just mess that come from people fishing. And, you know, that's a problem in addition to the safety concerns. And so I asked, you know, there is no fishing off a 3 mile bridge. I know it's inconvenient that we don't have a fishing pier, but they're working on that. That's a FEMA project. I mean, it's FEMA funding. They still have to approve every step of the way. Wes told us that's 60% design completed. And so he's thinking probably a year and a half out. So January of 2025-ish, I'm doing the math for him. He didn't say that date, but he said, you know, year and a half, maybe 2 years at the most, is when you can expect that to be in place. So until then, you know, just like since Sally, no fishing in that area. But we wanted to be sure, and I had a good conversation with Mike Wood, the public information officer from the Pensacola Police Department yesterday about this and other matters. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I have been told by the mayor and I have been told by the county administrator that people are not supposed to be fishing off a 3 mile bridge. And that was always my understanding, too. Question is, A, is that right? B, is it a law? C, who's enforcing it? And D, are there signs? I know you know the answer to all these questions.
Okay, so the answer, the first answer is yes, it is right. But the problem that can come up, and I just drove the bridge to make sure no new signage was put up. There's no signage that says you cannot fish there. That doesn't mean that you can. So if we get complaints of someone fishing on the bridge, it's obviously a dangerous thing for boaters and whatnot. But if we get a call like that, that's something that we will forward to the FWC for enforcement.
Okay, so it is an FWC, FDOT doesn't really have enforcement capability. I mean, even a road ranger, they don't have any law enforcement capability, do they?
No, we would just call Fish and Wildlife to come out and speak with those people. That's something that they do every day. I know a couple of those guys, and sure don't. You know, we're going to stay in our lane on that. But if we need to go speak to somebody about it, we will. That's just not something that I don't think that we've answered a single call on, as far as I know.
Okay, but also just to be clear, there are no signs. So a person, you can't just assume that you can fish where it's not mentioned that you can't necessarily. I get that, but just like you can't necessarily park everywhere you think there's no sign against it. But still, there's no signage to tell people that, right?
That's correct. It would just be much easier if there were signage up there as far as enforcement goes, especially if a person chose to take that citation to court. Signage would certainly help in taking care of that case and prosecuting that case. But at this point, as of this morning, there's no signage out there.
Right. And I think of other places like on the Causeway 90 to Milton, it's, or Pace, whatever, that it's, you know, there's so many signs, no fishing on the bridge, right? Because they want to make sure. And it seems like we're just kind of, that's another sign that really ought to be put up. So, okay, well, thank you for driving that this morning and checking on that, man. I really, really appreciate that. I don't think that we have a lot of like weird incidents, but we did have a Family Dollar that they basically cut into the backside of over on Palafox in the county. And you guys had something like that happen in the city as well, is that right?
Yeah, we did. It's the Family Dollar on Cervantes near 7th Avenue. Looks like the intruders pried open the back door and cut a safe out of the floor in that location. So, you know, we've seen things like this before. They'll hit city to county. A lot of times these groups are well organized, and they'll go into an area and strike and then leave the area to never be seen again. So investigators from both agencies are working on those cases to see, first of all, if they're connected, and secondly, hopefully to be able to solve those cases.
Yeah, absolutely. So, by the way, speaking of when we talk about it, we get results. Chairman of the Santa Rosa County Commission, Board of County Commissioners, Colton Wright, just texted me and said that he had just made a call to Tim Smith at FDOT. Signs are being made right now, and they're going to be up soon to tell people that it is prohibited, and they're going to, you know, ask for some help from police departments as well. So you guys may be, you and Gulf Breeze may be empowered as well as Fish and Wildlife to help enforce that. So just as a going forward, you know, that's what we might be able to expect. Let's see. So the Family Dollar, the Fishing Bridge. I also wanted to ask you, just because it's been I know you guys enforce law, you don't get to make the law, but obviously former Chief of Police Tommy Leiter was the biggest, loudest advocate for traffic safety, both speed enforcement and red light enforcement. And we've been talking about this. The mayor is planning on a pilot program at a couple of intersections where you have high red light running. The study has been done. We're waiting for the results of that. They're going to come out next week. I assume that the department is in favor of this, the chief's in favor of this, and believes in the value of red light cameras, if for no other reason than that a lot of these intersections, you simply cannot effectively police them for red light running, right?
Yeah, that's true. Chief Randall and Deputy Chief Christman are both in favor of it. And, you know, when you have intersections such as the three that the mayor mentioned, we do have a lot of crashes there. We spend a lot of man hours there. And there's only two ways to combat a problem like that. And one is to put an officer there 24 hours a day at all three intersections, which would cost a massive amount of money. But sooner or later, those three intersections will get a reputation that you do not run lights there, because there's going to be an officer there writing a ticket. Now, the same thing can happen with the plan that the mayor has with the red light cameras. Sooner or later, those three intersections are going to be well known for cameras, for red light cameras, and hopefully people will quit running red lights there and the crashes will go down dramatically.
Man, I sure hope so, because, you know, the numbers that I have heard from the mayor, and I think that we all kind of knew anyway, were challenging. And I remember Tommy always explaining it as it's just not really feasible to enforce, because you have to have a cop in those multi-lane situations to see the white line, to see the red light, to see the car, and then to catch the car afterwards. Like, all of these things are complicated. So, you know, I'm an advocate. I believe in it, you know, and I certainly hope that it's going to work. You guys always will always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth or something like that?
Yeah, this is a did you know, and it's about a police district in India where the officers are paid extra. They get extra pay for having a mustache. And the higher-ups believe that an officer, if they have a mustache, they will earn more respect, and they believe it improves the officer's personalities. Now, 3 years ago, the Pensacola Police Department began to allow beards. Those guys that have the beards are not getting paid extra, so maybe this is something that can be looked at. I'm kidding, of course, but why the higher-ups here decided to do that, it may be because of the respect thing, but... yeah, I thought that was kind of funny that if you grow facial hair, that you get extra pay in India.
That's funny. Now, I mean, you know, not to make light of something that could potentially be serious, but have there been any studies done in the U.S. about, you know, respect, authority related to facial hair? Because, I mean, look, I think of Super Troopers, you know, and I also think of Captain Steve Davis, now retired, where he was before and where he is now on facial hair. Has there been anything to indicate that, you know, it might actually make sense to, you know, do a little 70s or 80s throwback?
If there has been a study, I'm not aware of it. I know that if that's the case, then I'll never earn the respect because I can't stand it. It's a mental issue with me. It drives me crazy. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look into that and get back with you.
You don't need to. It's okay. I was just curious on the cuff. Mike Wood, that's funny, paying people more because they've got a mustache or a beard. Mike Wood is a public information officer for PPD. As always, Mike, thank you for the information. Thanks for helping us get a little bit of progress on this Fishing on 3 Mile Bridge thing solved by going out there and looking for yourself, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir.
I feel like the beard bonus is coming. $2,000 for men with a mustache. It's probably, you know, sex discrimination or something like that. 546 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got an advertiser on the show who's relatively new. A couple of months now we've been talking about them. And they, by the way, really appreciate so many of you going and checking them out and signing up for the ProHealth Medical Membership Plan. The numbers I've heard from them are pretty fantastic, so well done. But ProHealth Florida, locally owned, female-owned, 35 years in the business, 7 locations in Gulf Breeze by the Whataburger across from Andrews, Santa Rosa Beach, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, Pensacola on Summit, Pensacola on College Parkway, best of the Bay, best of the Coast, best of Pensacola, a place where you can get health care that's affordable and accessible. Monday through Friday, 8 to 4 in Gulf Breeze and Pensacola and Fort Walton, and 8 to 1 in the Pensacola location by Sam's Club, so that's even a weekend access. You get lab work, you can get occupational health screenings, drug screenings, breathalyzers done, you can get vaccinations done. They can come to your location if you want them to do that. And they've got a comprehensive medical weight loss program. So if you're trying to lose weight, based on, you know, science and medicine, they can help you do that. Also, they have this ProHealth Medical Membership Plan that I mentioned a moment ago, $45 a month. You don't have insurance, you don't want to keep paying for insurance, you want to do something else, or as about a third of their clients do, you want to add this to your existing insurance because you like the idea of no copay on your primary care visits, which are unlimited, 24/7 teledoc services, an annual physical, a flu shot, and discounts on lab work and procedures of 25%. You know, if that sounds good to you for just $45 a month, find out more about it. ProHealthFL.com or stop by any of the locations I just mentioned.
Celtic Angels Christmas captivates audiences of all ages with the magic of Christmas. Celtic Angels Christmas features 5 beautiful women with glorious harmonies combined with the stunning dance routines of the Celtic Night Dancers. Join us for award-winning song, dance, and music like nothing you've seen before as Celtic Angels Christmas carries you to Ireland on wings of music.
Celtic Angels Christmas coming to the Pensacola Sanger Theater Friday, November 24th. Tickets available online or at the Sanger box office.
Are you looking for your forever floors? We got them.
Hi, we're Buck and Ashley Deese, the proud owners of Deese Elite Concrete Coatings, where we make concrete pretty.
4 times stronger than epoxy with a lifetime warranty. Our coatings are perfect for your garage, patio, pool deck, and more.
For one day installation, trust the Deese Elite experience, now offering financing.
Get your forever floors by calling us today at 850-329-5599.
We make concrete pretty. A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. Join Todd Sadors with Gulf Coast Air Care on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 and learn how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember that Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. That's Gulf Coast Air Care on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Secret offers. Guaranteed returns. Over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit FLOFR.gov to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Buttman! Buttman!
During Thursday's White House press briefing, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said that the Russian troops are not just facing danger from the Ukrainians, but their own leaders as well.
We have information that the Russian military has been actually executing soldiers who refuse to follow orders. We also have information that Russian commanders are threatening to execute entire units if they seek to retreat from Ukrainian artillery fire.
Kirby called the situation barbaric, claiming the Russians are in large part untrained, underprepared, and under-equipped.
They can't feed their guys in the field, for crying out loud.
Man, it's just too bad we don't have the Soviet Union anymore. Wait, we do? Again? Wait, what are you telling me? Executing their own soldiers, threatening to execute whole units, can't feed their own people. Yeah. The rumors of Russian international power were greatly exaggerated, but they are still a nuclear power. You got to always keep that in mind, a massive nuclear power. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You know, one of the it's a little thing, but we're already seeing a difference of approach out of the new Speaker of the House. And one of those differences is he's talking about bringing a standalone funding bill to the floor of the House for Israel of about $14 billion, which he says is a little bit more than the administration asked for. And then it'd be separate bills to talk about funding for Ukraine or anything else. Look, whatever I might think about which of these bills should be yes, should be no, I certainly agree with the idea that they should be brought individually. It's all the bundling together that gets us this massive bloated federal budget because, you know, I'll say yes to your thing if you say yes to my thing, and then you get everything gets said yes to and nothing gets cut. So I agree with the approach, and I'm glad to see there's already a little bit of change afoot in the House of Representatives. We've got David Wayne in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Negotiations between the Actors Union and major Hollywood studios will be continuing again today. SAG-AFTRA says they did make some progress yesterday. They say the union members have now reduced their demands for first-year increases in minimum rates. Some Alzheimer's patients that had been hoping to try a new medicine recently approved by the FDA may find themselves without access to that, thanks to Medicare. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid are going to require patients to sign up for a clinical trial before they'll pay to pay for the patients to have access to that new medication. And requiring that is a first for Medicare. Health policy expert Dr. Kenneth Thorpe says that could throw up some major roadblocks for patients. Genetic testing company 23andMe now disabling one of its big features after worldwide reports of a data breach. The company says it's temporarily disabled parts of its DNA relatives feature, which allows users to share ancestry information with users around the world. Apparently, this is after somebody stole data that some users shared while using that feature.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Earlier this week, we learned from Mayor D.C. Reeves that there are some changes going on at the airport right now because the parking structure is getting worked on.
What's in progress now is parking garage maintenance. We're phasing shutdowns of the parking garage for resealing joints, just your typical maintenance that's happening to a structure of that age. The work will stop before Thanksgiving, and it'll start back up in January. So as we work on repairing and improving the parking garage, we obviously are aware of the seasonal aspect of that. So we continue to work on that now.
Yeah, they are working on it. But the problem is, you remember what what Terry Shashadi said about people won't not park where they're told to not park? Same problem at the parking garage.
We have had a couple of issues of coning off parking garage and us then seeing people on video move the cones and then park in that lot. Anyway, we've had multiple issues with that. So in case a complaint is out there in the public realm that a car got friendly towed for free to another location and they can't find their car, if any reports of that come into you guys, there's more than likely a chance that we have them on video moving a cone to go into an area that was closed as a parking garage. So keep that in mind.
So people in the parking garage will literally drive to where, like, there's a coned off section of the parking lot that, because they're going to work on it, they got to get the cars off of there so they can work on it. And they will move the cones and then they'll go park in those spaces. And they have this all on video. And so they go friendly relocate them. You know, just towed to another part of the airport. And if you've ever gone to a place where your car was supposed to be and it wasn't, you know, you know, right? That's unpleasant. But you shouldn't have moved to cones in the first place.
Unfortunately, I hate for someone to get off a plane after a long, long way away and then have a little anxiety when they can't find the car where they're located. But we are trying to communicate as best we can. If people were doing that and parking in areas that they weren't supposed to, we have towed their car for free to another location where they're allowed to be parking. That hasn't helped limit. So we've had a couple little minor delays with some of these repairs because we've had people take traffic enforcement into their own hands.
Yeah, I love the re-emphasis on for free, as in we're not penalizing you. We're just moving your car. You know, we got a bunch of frat guys out here, and we carried your VW off to some other locations, you know.
Like so, a Mentos surprise! Commercial, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of interesting. I was chatting with Matt Coughlin, who's the airport director. He's a friend, and I've known him, you know, a long time, former CEO at Whiting, all that, and former assistant county administrator in Escambia County. And, I joked with him. I said, yeah, dude, where's my car? And he's like, you know, it's crazier than you think. He said, we've had some people use power tools to dismantle construction fencing so that they can get into areas that are prohibited so that they can park where we're trying to work on the park. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. He says, yeah, unfortunately. And then others come in who are somewhat desperate last minute, park behind them, not understanding it's a construction zone because the, you know, idiot one took down the fence and they cause further problems. It's painful and can really hamper the efforts with the contractor who's trying to complete the project so we can get maximum parking in place because we know that parking is scarce and limited, right? So, and he says, he's like, yeah, good times. like power tools? Come on, Pensacola, you can, I mean, that is pretty good. But no, you know, that's just unbelievable. Meanwhile, speaking of terrible, stupid, ridiculous behaviors that Florida people engage in, have you seen the announcement yesterday?
No.
We're having the first annual Florida Man Games.
Oh, yes.
This has got to be the best story of the day. The Florida Man Games are coming to St. Augustine. That's the only part I don't like because it's St. Augustine, mm-hmm. But fine. So the Florida Man Games are going to feature, you know, lean in the direction of the skid, right? That's mm-hmm. That's what this is. Like, we know we got crazy here. So you have things like the weaponized pool noodle mud duel. It sounds like Tweedlebeetles and Fox and Socks. But, you wear drunk goggles and you fight each other with pool noodles. Evading arrest obstacle course, jump over fences, through backyards, and away from actual police officers who are trying to deprive you of your freedom. The Category 5 cash grab. Category 5 wins, scramble to grab as much cash as you can. There's one called it's a catalytic converter, two bikes, and a handful of copper pipes race against time.
Oh, man. This is great.
Beer belly Florida sumo, mullet contest, Florida ma'am pinup contest, and chicken coop bingo. I don't even know what that is, but it looks horrifying. So, yeah, that's it's like $45 for a ticket. Oh, and the brawl of the badges, police officers and firefighters boxing each other, I guess. So that seems pretty standard.
I wonder what beer is going to sponsor this, because it's not going to be Bud.
Well, I mean, yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
Fair question. I think probably there are better ideas that people could come up with. So if you have your better ideas, text them to us at 437-1620. But you got to give credit. That's a great idea for an event.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.